This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. I'm the host this morning, and I have a co-host, actually a couple of them. We've got Chuck Spoor here. He's president of the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America. And we've got E.W. Grimes here, and he is president of the Maryland State Chapter of the Quality Deer Management Association. So they just decided to drop in. I consider them friends. Oh, you got to turn that volume knob up where they're plugged in.
Got nothing.
You got nothing?
Yep.
Are they plugged in?
Yep.
I can hear you.
Got nothing.
All right. Well, we can hear you on the microphone.
Okay.
So, but you can't hear yourself.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties in the first 30 seconds of the show.
All righty then.
Hey, that's all right. So anyway, we want to welcome you guys here. We consider you both as friends, and you know, both of you involved in
put these on. Sorry for that.
All right, I'm just going to stop. Let me know when you guys are ready,
ready to go. We're awesome. We're
ready to go.
All plugged in.
Can you hear?
Yep.
Good to go.
Can you hear?
Good to go.
Plugged in.
Plugged
everybody's
in.
Volume's up. All right. Very good.
Yep.
Amateurs. Anyway.
What do you mean?
Low bid.
We solved the problem.
You did. That's good. I didn't say you were unintelligent. I just said. Sorry. Anyway, Chuck's been here a couple weeks ago and talked about PCBA, and I know EW's here to talk about a couple of issues that we've got going on. I know you attended the meeting when DNR introduced the Agriculture Deer Cooperators Permit to the members of the Maryland Farm Bureau.
Yeah, I'm actually a member of the Farm Bureau as well.
Okay.
And a new member, actually. And, yeah, it was I got to give kudos to the DNR. They presented a good presentation there and details.
The overall concept of allowing people to shoot deer at night in Maryland is just goes against everything ethical in my being.
Well, it does in my mind too as well. I do think the farmers have the right to be able to protect their crops, but
so
they have to justify it.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be held accountable for. And there's where I think
we talked a few minutes ago about this NAB guy that got caught down in Dorchester County.
Yeah.
Okay. He's protecting a landowner's crop. He doesn't own that land. He was shooting on a deer management permit, not a deer cooperator permit.
That's
he was
correct.
Shooting on a DMP, a crop damage permit. And that's where we get confused a lot of times.
And a lot of people use that confusion to their advantage.
Of course they do. There are two permits. One is called a deer management permit.
DMP.
DMP. Crop damage. DMP. Yep. The other one is called a deer cooperator permit.
That is correct.
And these are only issued to people who have gone through a training. They've done an oral and written test. They've done a proficiency exam. And as far as I know, in Maryland, other than people who shoot on, for example, federal properties and on county properties where there's an overpopulation, a real overpopulation problem, there's only one independent deer cooperator in Maryland that we know of.
That's correct.
And he shoots for an agricultural conglomerate.
That's true.
In Carroll and Baltimore counties.
That's correct. That is correct.
So that's he's gone through the training and everything else.
Yep.
And
he went through the procedure.
Yep. So he's the only independent guy that we know of.
That's correct.
Now, you and I both know Phil Norman, who's been a guest on this show many times.
Yes.
Phil is a deer cooperator, but he shoots on Howard County
County property.
County property. That's where correct. The deer are like 70 per square mile.
Yes, or more.
Or more.
Or more.
Very overpopulated.
Yes.
Dangerous to the public. Tears up the understory of the county parks.
That's correct.
You know, makes it bad for everything else that lives there, including themselves.
That is correct. And a lot of those areas, he also, along with the cooperator permit, has a recreational hunting managed hunts.
Actually, you don't call it recreational.
Well,
it's a
managed
hunting
hunt
program.
That is correct.
And your focus is to take antlerless deer.
That is correct.
And I was on that program for, I think, 18 years.
Yes.
And shot quite a few deer.
Yep.
On a management program. Every one of them was utilized, unlike the deer that are being shot during the hot summer months, on DMPs by farmers.
That is correct. That is correct.
The topic in question is an agricultural deer cooperator permit, not unlike
The new one.
Yes. Agricultural is the key word there.
That is correct.
Okay. This will allow members of the Maryland Farm Bureau who go through a process, demonstrate that they have deer damage, and that the deer can't be killed 365 days a year in daylight, will allow them, under certain very restrictive conditions, to be able to shoot deer at night.
Yes, they have to have an operational plan. It's the same cooperator that is like for Phil Norman and county and state and federal properties. They have to literally go through the same procedure
right.
as this. They have to have a map and they have to have a shooting location, a direction of fire, and all that has to be approved prior to them actually going to the field.
They have to notify all the surrounding property owners?
Yes, that's correct. They don't have to get permission, but they have to notify them.
Right, that they're going to be shooting. They have to notify law enforcement.
Absolutely, so they don't get calls. Or if when they do get calls, they know that the operation is, in fact, ongoing.
And if they get permission of the county attorney or other legal authority, then they can shoot at night.
That's correct.
I believe that's written authority.
That is written authority. That's correct.
Okay.
There's no such thing in this world anymore of verbal authority. You have to have documentation to
right.
back up.
Exactly. Now, in my personal opinion, and I'll share this with you and the audience, this is driven by the Maryland Farm Bureau, a group of people within the Maryland Farm Bureau that several years ago had antlerless deer declared in their state meeting, a public resource, antlerless deer declared by the Maryland Farm Bureau as vermin.
Vermin.
Yeah.
Vermin.
That's a rat.
That's a rat or a groundhog or a rodent.
it's vermin. Yeah, that's what the noble white-tailed deer that drives the economy of the Wildlife and Heritage Service. Hunting license dollars are driven by deer here in Maryland.
Absolutely.
Both whitetail and sika deer. And I truly also believe that the sika deer, the people who farm in sika deer country, were the ones that were driving this train, driving this bus on this night shooting more so than anybody.
I've heard that as well.
These are farmers whose crop agricultural lands border, let's say, Blackwater, for example, or are just in Dorchester County, border marsh. Sika deer live in the marsh, yep. only come out in their ag fields at night, only certain times of the year.
That is correct. That is correct.
Now, I believe that agriculture deer cooperative Deer Cooperator Permit Initiative was driven by people, farmers, landowners in sika deer country to annihilate sika deer.
I'd use the word eradicate.
Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, because they're trying to, the method is to eradicate everything in that area. And I don't see that being ethical. Or reliable, because I don't think they can ever have an effect of being able to do that, legally anyhow, even with the new permit as well. So But you made a good point, though. A lot of these problem areas, and there is problem areas.
No question.
Mean, there is definitely. It's not across the board throughout the whole state.
It is not.
And if anything comes good out of this cooperator permit, it will target areas that have a major deer issue in those areas.
I don't see anything good coming out of it.
What's going to find out is you're going to find out that there's probably either privately owned large tracts of land that does not allow any hunting whatsoever on it, or you're going to have public land that. Or, public land that has restricted the hunting on it.
Here's what we're talking about. Eradicate is a good word. There's a huge tract of land in Dorchester County owned by a very wealthy individual who is managed for both whitetail and sika deer hunting. Tremendous herds of deer. 48 shooters, 48 agents on their crop damage permits. Organized crop damage shooting events, okay? Antlerless deer targeted, and the deer population is healthy and sustainable. They have a biologist on staff, okay? On staff. That's how wealthy these folks are. That's how big a deal this is. This is, I think, 15,000 acres.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And anybody that's in Dorchester County knows who I'm talking about, okay? So, some of the most beautiful sika deer you ever want to see in your life. But they're managed and they're sustainable. They're not eradicated. Here's the kicker in this whole thing. These guys that shoot these deer day in and day out and during the nighttime now and everything else lease their farms to hunters during the hunting season.
Absolutely. Another source of income. There lies some of the problem with that. They're dipping out of both pockets, so to speak. And, once you get to a point, if you ever get to that point, where you make a good point, though, about a management program, because some of these places that have had sharpshooters in there, it only takes 2 years or 3 years for a deer population to recoup itself.
Right.
I mean, so
one buck
so,
plus one
so,
doe equals four deer.
That's correct. So if you actually, you need to have a management plan in place for multiple years and continue that plan. It's not a one-time fix. Here, I'll give you a permit. Go shoot all the deer you can at one night because you're not fixing the problem. The best resource you have of managing deer in a proper way is through the hunting community.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the hunting community's paying to do it.
The hunting license dollars, the money that I just paid $102.50 for everything on the schedule for hunting license, my federal waterfowl stamp and my Maryland hip permit, $25 and $9, that's $34 to hunt waterfowl. A bargain, by the way. My muzzleloader stamp, my bow stamp, my $24.50 regular license, my $15 bear application fee, $102.50. Right, Chuck?
Yep. Right. Everything except the waterfowl. I had the same thing.
Part of that money goes to administer the deer management permit program.
Agree. Yep.
Hunters are paying for non-hunters to kill deer that they have permits and the privilege to hunt. How does that square? How does that square? I mean,
it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't. And it does not.
Right.
Now as part of this cooperator program, and I'm not sure it's not in there, to be honest with you, I think they actually have to buy, to be a cooperator, you have to have a hunting license.
That I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
But here's the thing about Maryland, and you've been there, Chuck, and you've been there, AW. When you go to the General Assembly and there's a hunting bill, okay, and let's say it's controversial, the non-hunters who don't have hunting licenses, like the equine community, for example, who don't need to buy a license to chase foxes, even if the fox is killed, who don't need a license to ride on wildlife management areas and other public properties, okay, who pay nothing towards the sustainability of Maryland wildlife, a publicly owned resource under the public trust doctrine, okay, are driving policy because of political influence. Why is that? How does that happen? You've been to stakeholder meetings.
Absolutely.
You've been to stakeholder
meetings. Absolutely.
Meeting.
I've been to Annapolis.
You've got the anti-hunters.
Yep.
You've got the deer sterilizers. You've got the equine community. You've got the anti-deer farming community sitting at the table deciding hunting issues.
That is correct. And only the only ones that are footing the bill is the actual hunters.
The guy that shells out $102.50
exactly
like me
correct.
For his hunting license.
That's exactly correct.
We got to take a break. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx, O-N-X, to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation in the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt, navigating with Onyx Hunt. And I noticed QDMA has a 20% discount on the Onyx app.
Yes.
On their website.
Yep.
So, hey, look, summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob and fresh tomatoes and bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. Summer is cold, juicy watermelons and cantaloupes. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their crabs with corn on the cob. So yep. Go to there and get the corn on the cob. If you got a few crabs, you want to steam them up, just throw the corn in there on the steamer and put some seasoning on there. And, oh, man, hot corn with crab spice on it. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head to Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready to go. There's squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, cucumbers, mouth-watering cantaloupes, and sweet watermelons, too. And I mean, they're sweet watermelons. I love them. They grow them all themselves, too. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97, exit 12, New Cut Road, 8065 New Cut Road, right there in Severn. Call 410-969-8810. That's Papa John's Farm, open every day, Monday, Saturday, 9 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 6. That phone number again, if you're having a family reunion or church get-together, a big gathering, maybe crab, you want corn for a crab roast, crab feast or whatever, 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. What do you think of that line? I wrote that. It'll grow on you. Hey, switching track here a little bit. Let's talk about hunting and fishing. Let's talk about Chesapeake Outdoors. They're the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers right there on Kent Island, Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. That's the exit right off of 50, 39B Dominion Road. They've got the new Rambo bike, the electric bike. Now, that's cool. Scentlock Apparel is also new. They carry Banded, they carry hips and waders and all the stuff you need for waterfowl. They got a clearance sale on all the Hoyt bows. They have a large selection in stock, and they're getting rid of them all. So they're on clearance. You get a good price. They got the Matthews bows, the Raven crossbows, and much, much more. Remington, Choppa Firearms, Thompson Center, CVA muzzleloaders, Yeti, Costa Del Mar, Bubba Blade Knives, Waterfowl Calls. Oh, that's just the hunting stuff. Maybe we'll talk about the fishing stuff later. Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Line-X. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Line-X.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Big wheels rolling. Wheels rolling, moving on.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The white line is the lifeline to a nation. And men like Will and Sonny make it move.
You remember this TV show?
Yeah, I do.
Remember this?
Always on the go.
No.
You don't?
No. I'm a youngster.
Jamming got to be a fever.
Frank Converse and, can't remember his name. To be a truck driving man, steady hand and pull that rig behind. All right, let's go.
Hey, Alan, I just want to mention, too, Chesapeake Outdoors has Barnett's.
Yes, they do.
But crossbows, I'll be dropping mine off on Sunday on my way to Ocean to have them check it out for the next season.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Make sure you talk to Pete down there. He's a bow specialist. Pete or John, okay?
Pete, okay.
Yep. So, you wanted to say one more thing about these agriculture projects.
Yeah, part of this permit...
Deer Cooperator Permit,
the,
yes.
The Ag Deer Cooperator Permit.
Yes, we
Is that after this project is... after their operation is done from February 1 to March 31st...
Right.
...in that window, they have to file a report with the... collecting the bio data
right.
from it, the sex and the age of the deer, and so on and so forth, how many was taken, and along with where the venison went.
Right.
So this thing's got a lot of work involved with it.
It does.
I mean, it really does. Economically and realistically, I think your hunters would do a much better job of managing the herd.
February 1. March 31.
Yep.
Most of the bucks shed their antlers.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be.
Biologically, it's not the best time of the year to do it.
However,
I will say this, because of doing crop damage and being able to use our high-tech scopes and stuff during daylight, you can identify a shed buck prior to shooting it. Not saying
it
that they're not saying
matter
doesn't
to
matter.
These guys.
It won't matter. Because there's antlers as antlerless. So it's not. However, at this time of year, we have actually used this time of year to bait deer in a bad situation.
Right.
And you can get multiple kills. All right. So if you get multiple kills and you're doing antlerless deer, you're making an impact.
This is a
good time of the year to actually do that, because the browse is down, limited, and whatnot. So
you almost sound like you're in favor of it.
I am in favor of managing the deer. I am not in favor of eradicating the deer. And that's where the nighttime scopes and the infrared stuff like that. You're not identifying male and female. I'm not saying mistakes don't happen, and it will, but you can cut your mistakes down. On our crop damage permit in 3 years in Frederick County, we had one, and we shot them into February and March, and we had one shed buck out of 160 deer in 2 years, one shed buck that was accidentally shot.
I got a report. Yeah, because you guys were watching.
Yeah.
Trying to identify.
Yeah.
Okay, got a report. Last day of firearm season, Dorchester County. Fellas go to a spot to hunt. Farmer says, boys, I need some deer killed. Well, we don't have, you know, we only have about three does and one stag, and we've killed a couple, and, you know, we can't kill that.
You're talking about sink a deer.
Sink a deer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fellas, I can take care of that for you. Here's a couple of rifles. We got suppressors. We got infrared. We got night vision scopes. Have at them. And 15 deer down later, you know.
Oh.
There's hunters complicit in working with a landowner to be able to hunt his property. How can you ethically do that? You got a hunt license on your back. You got a rule book in your pocket or in your truck.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But, you know, is the what's the word? The fear of not being able to come back and hunt this place?
Absolutely. I think that card's played a lot.
You know, you want to hunt here again? You better help me out.
I agree. And I think that's where the part of kind of educating, and believe me, I know some old farmers that won't listen to education at all.
Right.
They won't
listen to your opinion.
Exactly. what I got with my QDMA blinders on,
right.
It's been said multiple times that, you know, we don't know how to manage deer.
Right.
Well, I think we do a real good job of managing deer when we are able to do so.
Sure.
And the hunters that we recruit in our co-ops is track record across the state,
right,
of being a positive way to manage
no
the deer.
Question. No question.
And with results. We actually collect the crop yields data from the farmer and say, hey, look, you've seen we had a farmer that actually couldn't do row crops because of a deer problem. 2 years later, after we went in and worked our magic, he's planting corn and row crops, cash crops.
And then 2 years later, when you're not in there anymore, he can't do it again.
And then he turned exactly right.
I know.
Exactly right.
I know
right.
Exactly where you're talking about.
Exactly.
I've hunted that farm.
Yes.
So.
Yes, you have. You was on one of our, it was a shooter of one of our.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was on the permit.
Yep.
And turned every deer in on my recreational license.
And actually, yeah, that's true. And see,
we killed 90 some deer, turned 70 of them in on our recreational permit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're using not only the crop damage permit along with our recreational hunt. Our bag limits are set to manage deer.
That's right. They are.
They are created, and we help create them to manage their deer where in these areas where we need to.
Right.
Our hunters do an excellent job of managing deer when they are left alone to do so.
Right.
Meaning that when your property owner comes and says, hey, you got to kill more deer.
But the hunter also has to realize that when a farmer allows him permission to hunt, he's going to have to take some of those antlerless deer because that's why he's there.
If you follow...
The farmer does not allow a hunter to hunt because he loves that particular guy, unless he's family,
right,
and what he does.
Right.
Okay, he's being paid by lease, number one.
Yes.
And number two, he understands that if the hunter does what he's supposed to do and removes some of the deer from the landscape legally and utilizes them, that's one deer he doesn't have to shoot in the guts and let lay.
When we actually have a program that's been well documented on the Eastern Shore that actually the farmer, the commercial farmer, requires the recreational hunters who is actually paying the lease and wants to be there to actually have to harvest two nanny does before they can harvest
right.
a buck over 130 inches. So what keeps that hunter? That hunter is... can't wait to get back here and hunt.
That's right.
To be here. I mean, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yep.
Well,
you haven't said much because he's dominating the whole thing.
But I'm learning a lot. So, you know, it's. But the remark about that Maryland has a generous limit.
Yes.
And to help keep track, take care of the population. My buddies that are across the country that are in these states, these other states, and when they hear what we can take just on our license,
yeah,
they're floored.
I know.
Wow.
Pennsylvania Army shows up.
Yep.
You know, Carroll County, Baltimore County, Harford County, Cecil County, Queen Anne's County, they're here because, look, a lot of these guys love to eat deer.
Right.
Okay? They want to go and they want to kill a couple deer and eat them, and they have an opportunity to take a nice buck while they're here. Right. I mean, this is part of why we do bucks, bears, and stags. We want to highlight the fact that we have a world-class white-tailed deer population here. We have a unique sika deer population, and we have a growing and thriving bear population across Maryland. Okay, we want to celebrate that. Okay, we do bucks, bears, and stags to celebrate the great job that our natural resource managers do in Maryland and what we have available here, and then recognize the hunter when they've taken a notable animal. That's all that program is about. Okay? Yeah. So, you know, we try to push that message and publish a record book as the records continue to come in, which will probably be next year we'll be able to do that. So, you know, we're striving towards a goal here, but we're not making it a competition to kill the biggest buck and, you know, show up and get a trophy or a prize or, you know, something. It's a recognition program for the hunters, and it's also a celebration of the resource here. And you're right, Chuck. We do have some great deer here, no question. So. Yep. That was an email. That knocking at the door.
I was wondering
what that was. Yeah, somebody's knocking. Everybody's looking at the door.
I thought it was security.
It's my phone.
I thought it was security.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility, too.
Well, you know, these big trophies, you know, that come out of, they come out of proper management.
Of course they do.
I mean, your age class and your buck herd dictates these trophy management.
No question.
And you have to have structure in your herd to be able to develop those antlers and to have those older class deer.
Yeah.
I mean, so you don't want too many does as a good manager. You don't want too many does on your property. Everybody says 1-to-1 and so on and so forth.
I think it's more like 1-to-3, isn't it?
Realistically, yes.
In Maryland, it's more like 1-to-10.
Yeah, In places. Yeah. Now,
we're talking about a ratio. We're talking about the buck-to-doe ratio. 1-to-1 in nature, one buck, one doe, four deer equals four deer.
And having the age class in that structure.
But if there's no top-tier predators or if there's no hunting, the deer population, like on some of these housing developments and things like that, where there's no hunting, county parks where there's no hunting, the deer are allowed to grow unabated, and then the buck-to-doe ratio gets out of whack.
And this is where our archery really comes in. You hit a real good point right there.
Yeah.
The archery part in these tight areas are the places where archery hunting should be excelling.
Yes.
That is where you're going to be with your crossbows, and I'm not a real big fan of crossbows, but personally, fine. Everybody's any tool if to manage deer. But these drainage areas and the money that's spent on developing these drainage areas for clean water at the bay actually needs to be open to archery hunting in those drainage areas to be able to manage those deer. Here's where your archery hunters should be really excelling in urban areas.
And here's where archery hunters need to step up and get involved, because nothing happens without changes to policy.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's where the Maryland Hunting Coalition excels, is policy issues.
I agree 100%, 120%.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We excel. That's our ballpark policy. Okay. Policy and legislation dictates regulations.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, if anybody wants to figure out how to change things in their district or in their county, Maryland Hunting Coalition website has a little thing on there called Politics 101. The first part of it will make your eyes bleed. But there's
it will.
I've read it. I mean, it does.
How long it's passed is incredible.
It is.
You know, the committee, the subcommittee, back to the committee, back to the floor, back to the, you know, both chambers, back to the, you know, conference and all that stuff. I mean, it's a difficult process to get a law passed or a law changed. But the strategy is the same. It all starts at the local level. Okay? It doesn't start in Annapolis. It starts in your hometown. The hunters say, well, we think we should have the, I don't know, the safety zone limit reduced. Okay? You go to your county, you get a group of people, organized people, intelligent people, go to your county council, make a proposal. County, call, ask for a meeting. Okay? Yep. Go to the county council. The county council will, then they'll have a vote. If the vote passes, then it goes on to the county delegation, which are your senators and your delegates in the county. The county delegation has a vote to advance the legislation. Someone there will craft legislation, and then it goes to the entire General Assembly to be. And local consideration is granted a lot of times. That's how a lot of Sunday hunting bills got increased, because it was a local bill. Carroll County excelled at it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like I said, we went through some, you know, big hoops in Carroll County.
Yeah.
And we led the field in Sunday hunting there for a while.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, absolutely. But involvement is a key here. Being involved with it. Getting people involved.
Yep.
I mean, hunter recruitment and retainage is hurting. So.
Hold on. Here's a caller, Mark. Mark, good morning. How are you? Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, not a problem. It's a great show.
Thank you.
Here's the question I've got. You were talking about the attempt of farmers to annihilate the deer population.
Right.
The question I have, and this is kind of a pushback attitude, what, if anything, can hunters do to expand the deer population?
Where?
Anywhere.
Stop hunting.
No.
What do you mean?
Talking about like putting out food, that type of thing. How to expand their territory that they can use since they are an edge species. Is there anything legal?
Yes.
That
oh, sure.
Can do to.
Yes, absolutely. Some. Let me comment on that. Some of our good managers over on the Eastern Shore down there, commercial farmers, actually started planting clover around the perimeters of the field and give that a shooting lane, and also an additive of browse for the deer that created. The limited sunlight hurt the crops anyhow in that first 20 or 30 feet, so you can increase your huntability of your deer from that 20, 30 where the shaded edge goes around and the beans don't do well and the corn don't do well. If you planted that in clover, then you would actually benefit the deer at the same time as giving you availability to hunt an edge.
And keep the deer off your
absolutely.
Cash crop.
Hey, you know, most people don't understand a deer's got a four-chamber stomach. They fill the one chamber, they lay down, chew their cud, just like a cow.
Right.
So if they're a browser, they're not a grazer.
Right.
So they'll eat till their stomach's full and they're going to lay down.
Right.
So if they eat and their stomach gets full before they get to the corn, they're not going to eat the corn.
Instead of planting corn and soybeans up to the edge, plant 30 feet of clover around
absolutely.
The edge and keep the deer off your crop.
Absolutely.
Is there any program that's encouraging that officially among farmers?
Among farmers?
Yeah, are they aware that they could, by doing this...
You got to understand, Mark, that 30...
in corn and soybeans, but they would protect what they've got.
We have actually approached farmers with through the hunters. Well, when they have crop damage, and I'd go sit into some meetings where we actually brought that point up about that.
And are they accepting it?
And actually, the hunters actually stepped up and said, "Hey, if you till the ground, we'll sow the seed. We'll even, you know, we'll do that for the farmer." I mean, the farmer has the ability to do it a much efficient way and faster. But they even offered to pay for the seed to do that.
Pay for the seed and go out and do the labor with their ATVs
and
their,
and stuff.
And their,
absolutely.
And their seeders. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, this would be a good article for the Farm Bureau's magazine or something to you know.
Why don't you write it?
I think I can do that.
It really would be because it sounds like part of it is an education issue.
You're right.
Big time.
You're right.
Big time. And the willingness to listen.
Well,
and communicate.
And not just among farmers. Good luck with that anywhere.
Exactly. Hunters as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
See you, buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Hey, we got to bring this up, too. I got to tell the folks about the Eastern Shore Hunting Legacy Dinner and Benefit.
Oh, yeah. We got a table there. We're looking forward to it.
QDMA is going to be there. Yep. I know. Yep. And you're going to be out of country.
Right.
So I'm sorry you're not going to be able to make it.
We'll take pictures, though. And send
you will? Yeah, we'll text you some pictures. Yeah. That'd be good. We've got some good stuff. I mentioned that recurve bow from Cypress Creek Archery, that Hoyt Dorado. We've got a crossbow, at least one crossbow now. We've got a good compound bow. We've got a muzzle loader. You know, these are just giveaway stuff. We've got a beautiful Weatherby Sporter, 300 Weatherby Mag.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
We got some other stuff planned that we're not letting out of the bag just yet. We've got a truckload for Eastern Shore guys. We had a truckload of
hard crabs. I hope.
No, what's the grass? What's the switchgrass?
Switchgrass
donated.
There you go.
Yeah, to you know, somebody to raffle off somebody. So it's all good, man. We got a lot of good stuff. So you guys are going to be there. Bow hunters are going to be there. You know, I was at Sean Mann's yesterday at his shop. He's going to be there, and he'll provide some stuff. And so, you know, we got a goose hunt from the Upper Bay Gun Club for four men for half a day. You know, so we're working on some pretty good stuff.
Upcoming events, if I can mention, we're actually going to be at Bass Pro Shop next weekend for their fall classic.
Okay.
And I'll be doing a seminar on at 3:30 scent and stealth and scent control.
Mm-hmm.
is one of the things. So we're going to be there. We're going to be
there
all
weekend. You're not using that this morning though, right?
No, not at all. Can you tell? Can you tell? Chuck's got wind.
I'm moving over.
That's one of the things I'm going to talk about, how to check and see if your cover scents work.
Here, does this smell funny?
Oh, man.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to take a break here real shortly, real quick. But we had a topic of discussion last week on 3D printer guns, okay? Now I got two pages here from Seven Things You Need to Know About 3D Guns. It was a feature in the Outdoor Wire the other day, and it was written by Tom Gresham. You know who Tom Gresham is? Tom Gresham is the son of Gritz Gresham, who used to write for the Big Three magazines. And Gritz Gresham, you know, bass fishing was his thing. Give me a strawberry man's worm and fish it forever. You know, that's his thing. But here's a couple of real quick points. It is legal to make your own gun without a serial number, as long as you aren't selling it or giving it away. If it's for your own use, you can make it and use it. You still must abide by all federal and state laws and cannot be a prohibited person. That's nothing new, and it doesn't matter if you make it with a garage full of machine tools, a file, or a 3D printer. Here's the exact wording from the ATF website. Does an individual need a license to make a firearm for personal use? No. A license is not required to make a firearm solely for personal use. However, a license is required to manufacture firearms for sale or distribution. The law prohibits a person from assembling a non-sporting semi-automatic rifle or shotgun from 10 or more imported parts, as well as firearms that cannot be detected by metal detectors or X-ray machines. In addition, the making of an NFA firearm requires a tax payment and advance approval by ATF. So, it's not illegal, but there are a couple of hoops. Number two, no one's going to download a gun from the Internet. I know it sounds stupid, but that's what the ignorant politicians and other media keep saying. You know, the issue is publishing of CAD drawings, computer-assisted drawings, and other files, publishing, think First Amendment. It is illegal to make a gun that is undetectable. And there's more. I can't get into it right now, but if anybody wants a copy of this, I'll be more than glad to send them the stuff about the 3D guns by Tom Gresham. And he's very attuned and astute as far as these 7 points. And he gets into the legalities of it and all that. Do we even ask for phone calls yet? I don't think we did. But that's all right. We can still get a couple in. But right now, last few minutes here, we got to talk about our friends at Clyde Sport Shop. There are rebates of $50 and $100 on select Browning firearms, and Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. They've got all the firearms from Browning that you, they've got them in stock, or they can certainly order them in a heartbeat. The AB3 Hunter is an outstanding big game value package with the gun and the scope. It's a, comes in select calibers like 243 and 308 and 270 and 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington Mag and 300 Win Mag, all the great popular calibers, and it's a very affordable package. Gun and scope, the AB3 Hunter. Ask for that one if you're just getting into it and you want a nice high-powered rifle. The BPS pump shotgun comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 20, 10 gauges. 12 and 20 gauge rifle barrel deer models are available. Bottom ejection is a feature of the BPS pump. The Maxis, waterfowl hunting perfection. The 725 Satori Sporting, and that's one for sporting clays and shotgun sports. The Hell's Canyon Speed, if you want to, you know, take a gun out west and be able to shoot long distances. This one comes in select calibers, and it is a light rifle. It's the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon Speed bolt-action rifle. Beautiful firearm. And then all the Buckmark pistols. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Now, down Kent Island, you got Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Chesapeake Outdoors has everything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing. All the rods and reels and line, the spool fresh line on your reel for you. They've got all the live and the frozen bait. They've got the chum. They've got everything for crabbing, the traps, the pots, the trot lines, live boxes. They've got... Did I mention live and frozen bait, rods, reels, and line?
You didn't, but you just did now.
I think I did already. They've got the extra tough boots, the Grundens. They got the Yeti tumblers, you know. You want to take your coffee out in the boat. They got the Costa sunglasses in case you're out there on a sunny day. Anything and everything for fishing at Chesapeake Outdoors. Did I mention they had live and frozen bait, too? And chum?
I don't think they
do.
They do.
Yeah, well, they're located Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right off Route 50, right there on Kent Island, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
God and guns. Thank you.
Sure wasn't down at the hunting club, 'cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong.
All right. Last few minutes. Hey, Chuck, thanks for bringing in a copy of the good news.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. The newsletter of the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America. Message from the president. Look at that. There's your picture.
No, that's vice president.
No, that's...
Yeah, no. But
that... Oh, that was the message. Now you're president,
right.
though. That
yeah.
was vice president.
Right.
Okay, now you're president.
Right. That's our spring issue.
Oh, okay. Got it. But, you know, it's a good group. You got some good support out there in the industry. You guys put on great hunts.
Next weekend starts our antelope in Wyoming.
Wyoming antelope, good.
The adults first in the western part of the state, and then youth and adults in wheelchairs in the eastern part of the state.
Okay, Gillette, and Lyman, and then Gillette. Yeah, you guys set up on water holes with your bows and stuff in shooting houses, or how does that work?
The year I went out there, we sat on watering holes,
yeah.
Either natural or the
ground
cement,
line or something.
They sat in the ground blind.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Got it. Yep, that's the way to do it. I mean, you get them coming into the water holes and stuff, and you can pretty much pick and choose your buck.
The funny thing is they don't like drinking out of the cement thing. They'd rather go drink out of the runoff on the ground.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Thanks, guys. Hang around. We got Joe Love coming in here at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about snakeheads.
So. I got to cut out. I got to get to work. So,
all right.
I mean, you guys have
Sounds
fun.
Good.
And
I have no idea what he's playing over there, but it sounded like he's introducing the show. So.
All right. Well, and thanks for having me.
Hey, W. Yep. We'll see you next Saturday at Bass Pro Shop.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, buddy.
You hanging, Chuck?
Yeah, I'll stick around.
All right, cool. EW, thanks. Great conversation. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right.
See
we're
you.
Out. Are we out? I can't hear anything.